Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is November 12th, 2025. The markets were up today. Well, the NASDAQ was flat. But the Dow was up, closing at 48,254, the NASDAQ at 23,406, and the S&P at 6,850. Our topic tonight is family conversations around estate planning, and it's more than just what happens when you die. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. So while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking on air, you can give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, our topic this evening, family conversations. And this could be around not just estate planning, really. It could be around just any kind of financial topic. The reason I like to talk about it this time of year is because we have the holidays coming up. And quite often, families gather, friends gather, our best of friends gather, relatives. And I think it could open the door to have some of these conversations. And sometimes it's hard conversations for people. So I do think it is worthwhile considering raising this topic of who will be handling the financial affairs for those of our loved ones should the need arise. And those financial affairs could include estate planning too. So it's not just estate planning. But so let's kind of set the table here of why. I just want to give some examples of why it would be really important maybe to have some of these conversations, because what you think might be happening might not be happening. Don't make assumptions. I think sometimes adult children could be 18, 19, 20, 21, and you might assume that your parents have everything in order when they might not. And parents, you may think you don't need to do this because maybe you're young and maybe you don't need to put anything together. Maybe you're not a parent. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're married with no children, and you haven't put your financial affairs in order. Who will be taking care of you? Who will be handling your matters when you can't, whether you have, you know, some incapacity or death? Who is going to take care of those things for you? My brother just had a friend recently who passed away, and her husband had passed away several years before. I don't know where they are on their estate planning. They live in Utah. But I do know they left a 20-year-old who was in college on the East Coast who was informed that her mother had a massive heart attack and died. So this 20-year-old girl, young lady in college here in Pennsylvania, actually. And not only did her father pass away several years ago, but now her mother has, and she's only 20 years old. It's heartbreaking. So if you think it's hard to have these conversations, Imagine how hard it might be for loved ones who you've left behind. Imagine how hard it might be for loved ones who have to make healthcare decisions for you if you haven't. Or maybe your loved ones can't make the healthcare decisions because you've never given anyone permission to make those healthcare decisions for you when you couldn't. And so the hospital or the doctors or the state has to decide what happens. The same thing applies if you don't have a will. If you don't have a will and your beneficiary designations aren't aligned, who's going to decide who gets, you know, your assets? And I hear all the time people say, well, don't worry, I have named beneficiaries on everything. Everything's non-probate. It's all non-probate. Non-probate meaning you don't have to look to the will to see who gets it because you know who gets it because the asset titling or the beneficiary designations supersede the will. So someone might think, well, I don't need to do the will because I did that. Well, if they're joint assets with a spouse and you both pass away at the same time, then that's no longer non-probate. That would become probate if you didn't have a beneficiary designation. Sometimes you don't think of everything. You might put beneficiary designations on, you know, your bank accounts, your brokerage accounts, your life insurance, your retirement accounts, but you forgot you have a house too. And the same thing there. I mean, typically people don't put a beneficiary designation on a house. So if you pass away and you have a house, who is it going to go to? That could become probate. If you don't have a will and no one knows where the assets are going to go, the state does decide. That's called an intestate estate. So it follows intestate rules if there is no will. The other thing that complicates that whole situation is the intestate rules may not be what you think. So often people think it automatically goes to a spouse. And in my little story here, your spouse might be gone too. Maybe you don't have children. Well, the state might say, okay, if you don't have children, do you have parents? Do you have surviving parents? If you don't have surviving parents and you don't have children and you don't have a spouse, who does it go to? Oh, well, do you have siblings? Okay, we have siblings. Maybe we have siblings. Where are they? Well, I don't know, because Bob's, you know, homeless. Jenny lives in, you know, Europe. So all of a sudden, it can become very complicated when you have potentially a guardian or an administrator appointed by the court to handle your affairs, and we can't find, you know, the people that may be related to you. How do people run that down? How do people find them? So it really is a good idea to kind of think these things through. The other thing that may happen is you might have assets that have what I'll call hidden value. People around you may not realize that you have something of value. You might know it's of value, and you don't want to broadcast it. You don't want to tell too many people about it. You know, that painting that's been hanging in the living room for, you know, 30 years. Oh, it could be a famous artist. That jewelry you have tucked away that you've never taken out and worn, you know, could be, you know, a diamond or gold worth, you know, a lot of money. You could have, you know, baseball collections. You could have coins. You could have rare, you know, bills, whatever it might be. So hidden value of assets on assets that may be hidden. They might even be in your safe deposit box. Oh, bringing up a safe deposit box, where's the key? If you're gone and you haven't discussed this with anyone and you have valuables, who knows where the key is? This is always a huge problem when people pass away and you find out they have a safe deposit box and no one knows where the key is. And then it gets a little complicated because the bank might have to drill the box. So you want to kind of start paying attention to what planning might apply to you and what people in your life are important enough to you that you want to do this, you want to set it up, you want to help make it easier if in the event anything that happens to you. And again, it's not just about estate planning. It's not just about when you die. It could be while you're alive if you become incapacitated. You also need to understand, you know, the implications of what you're doing and the planning that you're doing. Quite often you might hear, you know, adult family member saying, oh, mom's starting to lose it, and I'm going to take her power of attorney and start, you know, moving assets around because I don't want her to lose everything to the nursing home. Well, is that mom's real intent? Is that your intent? Do you want your kids to impoverish you? So let's talk through a little bit more of some of the circumstances that could help hopefully generate some of these family conversations that we may have over the next, you know, several weeks over the holidays. I'll give you some more ideas, some more thoughts, and then maybe how you can broach this subject, whether you're the adult child or you're the parent or grandparent. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are talking about family conversations around estate planning. Again, that's not just about when you pass away. Estate planning is managing your estate, your assets, what you own. And in these circumstances, not just the assets you own, but also the decisions you have to make around your financial life and your physical life, your you know, medical planning, et cetera. So let's talk a little bit more about why this is so important. So I mentioned if there is no will, then the state will decide where the assets go other than those that already have beneficiary designations or asset titling. So that's intestate rules. They may have trouble finding family members, and it's not as you assume. Let me go back because I hadn't touched on that. For example, in Pennsylvania, if someone passes away, you might, and they're married, you might think everything's going to the spouse. Those probate assets, when in fact, if there's children, the children could be entitled to assets as well. So don't assume that everything would go to a spouse just because you're married if in the event you have children. So other kinds of financial situations that I say it's not just estate planning like for death. It could be illness. It could be disability. It could be divorce, that you want to pay attention to your estate planning, you know, how you have assets titled. Do you need to protect assets? That type of thing. And that could be in the event of, you know, second marriages, blended families, divorce, et cetera. Why don't people talk about estate planning or financial situations? I think sometimes what I hear from clients is they don't want to tell their kids because they're afraid their kids won't work if they think they're going to inherit a lot of money. So that makes them nervous. They're like, I don't want the kids to know anything. And, you know, that could be a valid reason. I mean, you know your own children better than anybody. What I like to remind people is quite often our children emulate us. They mimic us. So if we were hard workers, our children tend to be hard workers. So you kind of can look to your own kids to see, you know, are they doing a good job? Are they being responsible? Are they, you know, running up credit card debts? Are they spending like crazy people, or are they being practical and careful? You know, so you can get a sense of that as your children kind of go through those financial decision-making years for themselves. So it may not be as big of a deal to disclose some of that information, But I remind people that you also can still have these discussions without disclosing the financial information. You don't have to tell them you have $5 million. But what might be important for your kids to know, because they could be worried about this, because we ask these kinds of questions in meetings. I might say to adult children, do you have any financial responsibility? Do you anticipate having any financial responsibility towards your parents, toward their care? And, you know, quite often it's no, but there are circumstances where, oh, yeah, you know, if anything happens to mom, I'm going to do whatever I have to, you know, take care of her. So we ask about that financial responsibility. So that could be very informative to your adult children. If you're, you know, there on the holidays, you make a joke, oh, yeah, if I end up going in a nursing home, you know, I expect you to take care of me. Or, oh, if I go in a nursing home, don't you worry. I'm, you know, I've got that covered. You don't have to worry about it. So, you know, you want to think about those things. Or if you're an adult child, you go home for Thanksgiving and you're sitting around the house and you notice that mom and dad are, you know, having a little bit of a harder time going up and down the stairs and the bedroom's on the second floor, maybe the laundry's in the basement. So if you think about their retirement years and as they're aging, are they going to be running upstairs to, you know, go to for the bedroom, and they're going to go downstairs in the basement for the laundry. That's a lot of, you know, steps. So you might say, hey, mom and dad, have you thought about, you know, doing an addition or renovating the house to be able to live in place, stay in your home? And maybe that's not an option. Maybe that would be, maybe it's not affordable. Maybe the house doesn't make sense anymore. Hey, mom and dad, have you thought about, you know, where you're going to want to live as you're aging? I mean, you're very active people. You want to stay active. Do you see that here where you are? Are you worried if something happens to one of you takes a fall, one of you has a heart attack, what's going to happen? And just even in my own, you know, circle of people that I know recently, I'd already told the story about my brother's young friend who has a 20-year-old daughter who now has no parents, no siblings. There are other circumstances. I have a family member, in-law, who best of health, appearances of best of health, and ended up having a heart problem and ended up in the hospital for weeks and weeks. Another family friend who, unbeknownst to her, just started having major pain and found out she fractured her pelvis. And she's in her 70s, and apparently, you know, this happens. And guess what? The only thing they could do for it is she had to stay off her feet. She could not walk. Well, can you imagine? You're at home. Now, she does have a husband who could help her, but can you imagine you're all alone and unbeknownst to you, you've been, again, in the best of health, and all of a sudden you have this fracture because apparently you have some bone density problem. I don't know. I don't recall if it was osteoporosis or some kind of osteo something. But, you know, you go through life and you think you're still young. I do as well. In my head, I'm like very, very young. But you forget your body's aging. And you want to be in front of these decisions. You don't want to be in an emergency where you're going to have to panic or, you know, make a decision that's not thought out. Like all of a sudden you realize the home's not going to work. You have to have a fire sale on the home and move into an assisted living place. And you find out the assisted living may cost more than, you know, the house you're selling. So you want to think it through. What can you do? And I do see more people doing renovations in their own home to allow them to stay in their own home. So they'll have first floor living, which really can extend the time that you can stay independent. So even if you do have first floor living, maybe that gets you through age 80, you know, but it's better than through age 70. So you want to think these things through. So illness, disability, Incapacity can come in two forms. It can be physical incapacity, as I mentioned with my friend who couldn't walk for weeks, and or mental incapacity. And that's a whole nother ballgame, a whole nother situation where you really need someone to not only make medical decisions for you, but financial decisions for you. So you could be physically incapacitated, but still mentally acute that you can you know, still do all your own financial decision-making. But if you have mental incapacity, who's going to do it? Do you want someone sweeping in who you've never trusted, but they're the closest relative and someone appointed them, you know, through the court? You can make that decision yourself if you're ahead of your plans. And what better time to have these conversations with those people closest to you than during the holidays if you haven't already. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Introducing Home for the Holidays. Tis the season to shop small and share big. A special 8-episode podcast. Each week, we'll spotlight local makers and retail stores that make our region shine and show how shopping small keeps local dollars close to home. Tune in, get inspired, and join the hashtag BuyLocal movement. Listen at WDIY.org, watch on our YouTube channel, or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about family conversations, and it doesn't have to be family, it could be friends, conversations around estate planning. The other reason people might not want to have these conversations, remember I said sometimes people feel like they don't want to share maybe with their adult children or maybe even family members if they think it'll they'll be impacted by their behavior would be impacted. So pretend I'm worth $20 million and, you know, I don't want to tell my brother about it because maybe my brother will not want to talk to me about it, or he'll be embarrassed, or he'll suck up to me because he wants my money. So there's a number of reasons that one may not want to talk about it because it could be sensitive information. I'll continue talking about that in a minute, but we have Carl from Phillipsburg on the line. Hello, Carl. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How can I help you?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank you for everything that you do for all of us here in the Valley, giving us these things to think about and perhaps plan about and maybe make a better life for ourselves.
Thank you.
And the reason I'm calling is, you know, estate planning is a very detailed and complicated issue. And I wondered how you would go about finding someone who can help you with estate planning. Do you need an attorney? Is it a specialized thing that you need a specific, legal certification?
What I would say, Carl, is it could be a number of professionals, and I know that in itself sounds overwhelming, but let me tell you why I think it's really important to coordinate, because you hit it on the head when you said it was detailed and complicated. And it might be detailed and complicated for one person, and it might be really easy for someone else. My mother, loved my mother, raised six kids. She always says it's easy for her because she owns a house. I mean, that's it. So that could be very easy. But then you might have someone who has a house, who has investment accounts, who has retirement accounts, who maybe had a rental property, who had life insurance, who has a tax situation. So it can get more complicated. And the problem I see, Carl, is that someone might go to their attorney, and which I love, go to their attorney and get their estate documents done, but they may not follow up and coordinate what came out of that meeting in the planning, where you have to update beneficiary designations or asset titling, or, you know, let your loved one know that you just named them the power of attorney or executor. So you want to follow up with that. But in addition to that, what I see sometimes, people will have the best of intentions and they'll go to their attorney and they'll say, this is what I want to do. And attorneys might just take what you give them and implement that for you. Okay. So you've gone to the attorney and you've said, hey, attorney, I want to give $10,000 to the church. I want to give $10,000 to my nephew and the rest to, you know, my brother. Well, with a little extra planning, if now you bring in maybe a tax person or your financial advisor and they say, wait a minute, you're going to give $10,000 to the church through your will and $10,000 to your nephew through the will, but in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, they have an inheritance tax. Is this person, can this person actually give $10,000 during lifetime? Can you afford to give $10,000 to the nephew now? And that way you avoid the inheritance tax. The annual gift exemption is $19,000. So I've had clients who want to give money to these unrelated people. It has a higher inheritance tax in certain states. Not all states have that. But I say, hey, if you're of the means that you can gift during lifetime, you can do it in such a way. And what I suggest might say, you know what? I'm in a really good position right now, and this is not always going to happen. But I would like to gift you $10,000. Now, don't expect, you know, anything else, but I really would like to do this and see you enjoy this while I'm alive. And that would be for the nephew in my story. And then the $10,000 for the church, I would say, well, hey, Carl, do you have an IRA? Why don't you give $10,000 out of your IRA? You could do that during lifetime. If you're over age 70 and a half, you can do a qualified charitable distribution. Well, so let's say we do that, Carl. You come to me and I'm telling you all that. And you say, that's a great idea, Lori. Let's do that. But you never update your will now? So now we'd need you to go back to the attorney and do a codicil or update the will. I prefer to do that all before you sign the will. So, you know, I'll tell clients, I'm not an attorney, but I would love to look at your draft to see what you're planning on doing, because I can't tell you how many times I find out people are doing charitable giving out of the cash in their estate when they have huge IRAs. I'd rather give taxable IRAs to charity and cash to my kids or my friends. Another example, Carl, if you're staying with me here, I'm just trying to explain the complication and detail that it could take. Had another story. Client was giving $150,000 to 15 friends, $10,000 each in her will. Again, Pennsylvania inheritance tax, 4.5%. That's a hefty little tax. I knew she had a life insurance policy. I said, let's use the life insurance money for your friends. And that's what they did. So there was no inheritance tax. There's no inheritance tax on life insurance. And it all worked out really well. The family saved all that inheritance tax money on those gifts to the friends. So is there, you know, I recommend attorneys. I recommend coordinating with your financial advisor and with your tax advisor. And if you're the person who's doing that yourself, then you might want to ask your attorney, can we sit down and review these beneficiary designations together to make sure I've aligned it? I'll tell clients, when you update your will to not include those charities, I want you to take your new beneficiary designation forms into the attorney's office. The minute you sign the will, you sign your updated beneficiary designations. Because I don't want you leaving the attorney's office cutting out the charities and not updating your IRAs. Are you following that?
Well, honestly, we've gotten pretty far down into the weeds.
Yep.
My basic query was a much simpler one, mm-hmm. about where do we start? Do we start by finding an attorney, mm-hmm. with specialty in
estate planning. Yes. I think that's really important because they're not all created equal. I've seen estate wills, you know, wills that are like 2 pages and wills that are like 10 pages. So, yeah, I thank you. And I'm sorry, I do tend to jump into the details. So I'm sorry, but I like to demonstrate how complicated it can be and why understanding the complications, I want to motivate people to go ahead and do it. So, yeah, start with an estate attorney, get a draft before you sign anything, get a draft, review the draft. If you have financial advisors or attorney or CPAs, why don't you, you know, talk to them about beneficiary designations and tax consequences, and then go sign everything. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And go ahead.
You would advocate starting with an estate planning attorney.
Yes.
And then moving on with an integrated approach between your tax planner and your financial planner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl. Have a good evening. We're at our break now. So thanks.
Okay, Lori.
Thanks for calling. Bye. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. I want to thank Carl for the call as well. And it's so funny. I mean, I have to sit here and chuckle because it does sound like I make everything complicated when someone just wants a simple answer, but it is complicated. And I'm going to digress for a moment from my talking about, having these financial conversations. Let me digress for a moment just about why sometimes the simple answer is not the whole story. For example, talking with clients today, they were doing tax planning and they want to know what tax bracket they're in. And I say, you're in the 12% tax bracket, 12% tax bracket. And there's like another $10,000 of room in the 12% tax bracket. So the inclination or the thought might be, Lori, if we're only in the 12% tax bracket and we have another $10,000 in the 12% tax bracket, why don't we take more money out of our retirement account? These people are in the required minimum distribution age. They're over 73. They have Social Security. So why don't we take more out? Let's play the 12% tax bracket. So anyone who pays attention to their taxes, this is a great question, and it makes sense. They ask what tax bracket, 12% tax bracket. But if they put more money on their tax return, $10,000, it had almost a 40% cost to them in the 12% tax bracket. It's like, what? What? How does that make any sense at all? Well, there are a lot of circular calculations that go into a tax return. And when someone has Social Security, up to 85% can be included in taxable income. It depends on how much other income is on their tax return. Someone who's in a 12% tax bracket, if they have qualified dividends and capital gains, long-term capital gains, they're taxed at zero. If they go above the 12% tax bracket, they're taxed at 12%. I mean, 15%, excuse me, 15%. Okay? There's a new senior deduction for people 65 and over. If they're married filing joint and their income is below $150,000, they get an extra deduction of $6,000 each. Okay. So what did I just say? I said, we're in a 12% tax bracket. I said, your Social Security is taxed based on how much other income you have on your tax return. Your capital gains and long-term gains are taxed based on what tax bracket you're in. And your senior deduction is based on how much other income you have on your tax return as well. If when we put the extra $10,000 on the tax return, it's not $10,000 we're adding to taxable income. It's $18,500. $18,500 that tips you over into the 22% tax bracket from the 12. We go from 12 to 22, people. What did I say? When we're not in the 12% tax bracket, our capital gains get taxed at 15 now. And guess what else it did? It now puts them over the $150,000. We start to phase out that deduction. So there are a number of what looks like a simple answer. What tax bracket am I in? 12% tax bracket. If I didn't have these extra conversations, that person could have gone over to their IRA at the other firm, taken out $10,000. And when they see their tax return and now they owe an extra, several thousand dollars, they're going to wonder why. You told me I was in the 12% tax bracket. I thought this $10,000 was only going to cost me $1,200. Okay? That's why simple answers don't always work. And that's you know, over my you know, career, I know I overeducate, which is why I love doing this radio show, because I'm a frustrated wannabe teacher, and the devil is in the details. And if we can hone our financial acumen, if we can hone our financial instincts to think it through before we act, before we do something, before we sign, before we, you know, transfer, before we, you know, execute. If we think through the options, you know, without making ourselves crazy too. I mean, because there are times where I could actually come up with 100 different options. We sometimes have to use common sense around this decision making as well. But if we can do that through this radio show, educate the audience. And you're all smart already. I don't get me wrong. I think really WDIY listeners are so sophisticated and have great questions and check themselves. I think it's brilliant. And I hope that we have some, you know, assistance in that with our listeners in helping you be critical and question and ask questions and be curious. Okay, so that's kind of, you know, why I go into so much detail. So thank you for being patient with me. So another reason why people don't want to have these conversations around some of these financial decisions, particularly estate planning, I can't tell you how many times people don't like talking about death. They don't like talking about dying. But it is true, and I know someone else said this recently, but it is true, we are all going to die. So, you know, it's just about being practical. And I always say, if you plan, it doesn't happen. You know, that's why you buy insurance, because then you never need it. It's when you don't have insurance that you have the crisis. And I that's how I encourage people to do their estate planning. If you do it, nothing happens. It's when we don't do it that it can become a big problem. So sometimes people are afraid of dying, or they're just not comfortable talking about it. Then don't make it about dying. Don't make it about death. Make it about, as I said, your estate planning, which is estate planning is your estate. Remember Dallas, the old, you know, soap opera TV show series that with JR that was on forever and ever? They had an estate. They talk about the estate. You know, I forgot what it was called. But anyway, you know, estate planning is about managing your assets, you know, throughout all your years. So don't make it about dying. Make it about managing your assets and being a good steward of your assets. Sometimes people are afraid to offend someone. You know, you can't make a decision. Oh gosh, I've got two brothers. What if I pick the one brother to do it, not the other brother? They're going to think, you know, I like this brother better. It might have nothing to do with it. And you can even make co-executors if you need to. If you have three kids, it's not always like convenient or efficient to have all three kids named an executor, or all six kids. You might want to pick one, but, You can name all of them if you wanted, but you usually will make these decisions. I mean, my husband and I talk with our children about this all the time. And the two girls are the oldest, my son's the youngest. The girls are like, we don't want to do it. We don't want anything to do with it. My son happened to be you know, a double major, financial planning, accounting major, and he said he'd do it. So it's not because he's a boy, it's just because he was the one who seemed to be most equipped and willing to do it. So my son is going to be the, you know, executor, power of attorney, and all of that. Girls don't want to pull the plug, that kind of thing. So if you have these conversations, you discover, you know, who would be willing to do what. You know, we have a property in Michigan. We say, hey, kids, do you think you'd want this if we're gone? Yes, we have strong ties to Michigan. So family's still there, et cetera. So now we can do planning around that. Some kids will tell you, We're not going to that Florida property, Mom and Dad. You don't need to keep that for us. Well, then you can, you know, plan around that. So you, in offending someone or not offending someone, One child might be interested in the property and the others aren't. Well, if your attorney knows that, they can put that in the documents. Hey, if child A wants to buy that property or take that as a share of their estate, they have first dibs to be able to do that. If they don't want it, then the executor will sell that property and it'll become part of the residue of the estate. So if you don't have these conversations, you don't find out these things. So don't worry about offending anyone. Someone in the end is going to have to make these decisions for you. So again, it's better that you're the one who's making the decisions, not, you know, some random relative or the court. It is important to probably have those conversations where you ask them if they would be willing to serve. It might make sense if you have a relative who's closer to where you reside. That could make sense. You know, I've had clients that have people, but they're all very far away. Sometimes that is what it is. And in today's day and age, there are easier ways to kind of manage assets from, you know, far away. You can do that, particularly if you were, you know, if you had ties with a financial advisor or with an attorney, that power of attorney or that executor or that trustee, you know, can work with your advisors to effect the, you know, disposition of your assets, et cetera, because they would be familiar with them. I already talked about children. You know, you don't want your children to lose motivation, you know, or work hard. Oh, that's a different conversation. Or another reason why people may not be interested in their, you know, finishing their estate planning or doing their estate planning is because you don't understand your own situation. You get stressed about it. Maybe you don't like taxes. You don't want to think about your assets. I've had a number of clients, the reason they have so many assets is because they think they don't have any assets, meaning people who grow up with nothing think they always have nothing, and yet they're the best savers, and they've accumulated and accumulated, and before they know it, they're multimillionaires, and they don't even realize it because they still have the mindset that they think they have nothing. So, they might not understand their own situation, that it requires some more careful planning. So try to make sure you understand your own situation. And if you don't, you know, you might not have to understand all the details like I like to know. You might not have to have all the details. You could just sit down and, you know, maybe you're at Thanksgiving table and you could say to the, you know, if your kids, your siblings, your nieces or nephews, whoever it might be that is important in your life, you could say, you know, I've been thinking about my estate planning. I have this house. I don't know what's going to happen to this house when I'm gone. You could see their reaction. You could say, you know, gosh, if I end up in a nursing home, I don't know where I would go. I wonder if I should stay local or if I should, you know, maybe sell my house now and go into an assisted living. Or, oh, you know, if I end up needing care, I do have long-term care. I just don't know who might be making healthcare decisions for me if I can't make them on my own. See what kind of reactions you get. If you have no children and maybe you don't have a spouse and you're sitting there with a niece or nephew, kind of see how they're doing. Are they good to you? Do they call you? Do they visit you? Do they help you out when you need things? Or are they only sitting there maybe hoping for a handout? Kind of get a feel for what people in your life are important that you can trust that you may, you know, appoint to some of these positions. Because you definitely want someone who's going to put your interest first. And ordinarily, these documents are written airtight for that. You want them to be written airtight. You work with your attorney. You let them know what kind of powers you're going to give a power of attorney. That's only while you're alive. But if you can't make those decisions for yourself, typically those powers of attorney will say, you know, funds can be used for you. And, you know, what kind of leeway might that power of attorney have? And they're spelled out much more specifically than they used to be. So you want to make sure that you think that through and then, you know, schedule an appointment with an attorney or talk to these family friends, loved ones, whoever it might be, who you hope would take those positions for you. Folks, if you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I do want to mention, and I'm going to mention this quickly at the end of the show, but I want to mention it now. Next week, the show is going to be pre-recorded, and it's going to be about communities in action. And we're going to learn more about the Bob Price Memorial Turkey Drive with Jandel Farms, Provident Bank, the Iron Pigs, and New Bethany Ministries. That turkey drive is November 21st, where the need to feed families in the community is great. And this is something they've been doing for years and years, and it's quite precious. And you can buy turkeys, get your turkeys, and ride over to the Iron Pigs, and they fill them up with the truck, and then they get them delivered. And I believe that's going to be on November 21st. But we are talking about it next week, and we're going to hear more about these community partners and what they're doing in our community to support this and, you know, ongoing needs. So that's next week, Communities in Action on Your Financial Choices. I love doing shows occasionally highlighting some of these great programs that we have and great organizations in our community that are giving back. So tonight, talking about having family conversations around the holidays, we talked about what's the resistance? Where resistance could be you're worried about, you know, the children or the people around you might be trying to, you know, sponge off of you. If you don't have these conversations, you wouldn't learn as much. And by the way, how do we have these conversations? So I said, you know, you could be the one who needs the planning and you could have these people around you and the holidays, and you could be the one bringing it up to kind of get a feel for it. But you also might be that young adult and not have any idea of what your parents are doing. And again, maybe your parents don't want to tell you dollars, and they don't need to tell you dollars, but you just might want to know if they've done their planning. And what I usually suggest to people is how you open that door, if it's not at the kitchen table saying, hey, you know, what am I going to do with this house? Or I've been thinking, should I renovate and make a first floor living here? The conversation could be instead, hey, Mom and Dad, or hey, Uncle Bob, you know, I haven't done my estate planning yet. Do you use an estate planning attorney? Are they good? Can you give me their name? And that's where you find out where they might say, oh, no, I haven't done that myself. And you could say, oh, well, maybe we should think about looking for an attorney. Let me Google that right now while I'm sitting here at the table with my phone in my hand, you know, and let's get to an attorney. And if you do your documents, I'll do my documents. So that's one approach. Or that, you know, parent, grandparent, uncle, aunt might say, yes, Bob Smith down the street or, you know, in the next town over, or I haven't done that for 30 years. Well, if you haven't updated your estate documents in 30 years, chances are they need updating, particularly with the new rules around, you know, powers of attorney. All the states are kind of adopting more robust statutes around powers of attorney. So it's always a good idea to go and get those reviewed. Or the other question might be, you know what? I haven't done my will yet, and I got to get that done. Hey, Mom or Dad, if you guys have a will, where do you keep your will? Do you keep it? And I had Eric Strauss on a few weeks ago talking about where do people keep their documents. It might be a safe deposit box in the bank. Oh, Mom, Dad, you have it in the safe deposit box? Do you have the key to the safe deposit box? Because I heard Lori talking on the radio show, and quite often they can't find the key, and then they have to drill it, and it causes complications. You know, does someone know where that is in the event, you know, something happens to you? So is it in the safe deposit box? No. The attorney has it. Oh, the attorney has it. Who's the attorney? Is it the attorney from when we lived in Texas? Or is it the attorney who's down the street? Is it Bob down the street? So you might ask those kinds of questions, and you can always raise those questions based on your own circumstances. And because then your parents, aunt, uncle, grandparents might feel like they're helping you out. But you can also kind of gauge whether they have done any of this. And what makes it easier to go in for estate planning or even just any kind of financial planning, remember estate planning could be, are you going to be able to afford long-term care? Are you going to be able to perhaps fund some of those charitable intent that you had at your death and instead fund it during your lifetime, or fund those nieces and nephew gifting that you wanted to do when you died? Maybe you want to do it when you're alive. And that's part of that estate planning. You can do it while you're alive, working with your financial advisor, your tax advisor, your attorney, coordinating all of it. But you just kind of lost track. you can have those conversations as to, you know, what you should be doing. So when we talk with those family members, those conversations, who might you be using for your attorney? Where is the document? Do you have a healthcare power of attorney? Do you have a power of attorney? Who did you name? Oh, you named Bob, you know, Uncle Bob. Hey, Mom, Uncle Bob died 10 years ago. Who are you going to name now? Or, Mom and Dad, you had that document when I was 18 and I'm now 26. I'm a very responsible adult. I could serve as your executor or your power of attorney, or have you thought about updating it? That's the other thing. If you're not updating your documents, things change, and you want to say, you know, if we were worried about our kids inheriting when they were minors, and it's 10 years later, and now they're 30, you know, or in their, you know, late 20s when they're more responsible, time to maybe update those documents, get them freshened up. You don't need to maybe name your brother as the executor. You can name your child as the executor. So when you do kind of an inventory of your own situation, that's certainly going to help anyone who's advising you, as Carl talked about at the beginning of the show, whether it's an attorney, financial advisor, or tax person. If you have your assets and your beneficiary designations and your asset titling kind of in order, it empowers or informs that professional that's helping you have the right information to give you the best advice with the information available. So what I like to call the inventory, you can do an inventory of your financial assets like a balance sheet. So what are my assets? What are my liabilities? Because there could be liabilities that need to be settled when you die as well. There might be liabilities that when you die, you might not be responsible for, like student loans. Student loans, you know, if there's no money, you know, go away. So you want to have a list of your assets and your liabilities. I always like to know how those assets are titled. Are they joint or are they not? Who are they joint with? Do you have beneficiary designations on those assets? So many people now add beneficiary designations to bank accounts, to brokerage accounts, obviously retirement accounts, life insurance. Those are the things we typically think of. Who are the beneficiaries? Who are the primary beneficiaries? Who are the contingent beneficiaries? So we get our little inventory put together with our asset titling, our beneficiary designations, again, if we have any liabilities. Then what other kinds of assets that we want to make sure we include there that we don't often think about? That life insurance. Life insurance may not be subject to inheritance tax, but it's still an asset and could be used for things to pay like inheritance tax. If there is an inheritance tax. We also might want to look at, was there a pension? Some pensions will have term certain features to it. So certain times people will pick a pension and it might be a single life and it's done when they die. It might be a joint life, which goes to a spouse, you know, for that spouse's life. It might be a joint and or term certain pension. So if I elect a pension and I say I want a term certain, and after 1 month I died, and my term certain was 10 years, there could be an asset there in a pension that you might not have thought about. Well, who is the beneficiary of your term certain? You want to make sure that you update it for that as well. If you have a 401k that has appreciated stock, we've talked about that in the past, net unrealized appreciation, that stock and net unrealized appreciation can go to your beneficiary of that 401k. Some people might not realize that. You might think, oh, I have this company stock in my 401k, and maybe you never rolled your 401k over to an IRA, so you still have that employer stock. That will retain its characteristics to your beneficiary. If you've never told your beneficiary about that and they're distraught, you passed away, they're crazy, they're distraught, they're financial, you know, they call the 401k provider and they say, oh, roll it over. You should roll it over to a beneficiary IRA, roll it over. Well, there are special provisions for employer stock that if you're not aware of it, a lot of times those custodians don't talk about it. They may not be able to talk about it because they can't talk about tax-sensitive information. So you want to make sure that someone in the family, if indeed that is your situation, that someone knows about it. And typically, it's going to be that person that is going to be your power of attorney and or your executor. Okay? So these things are uncovered when you're doing an inventory of your own situation. And again, maybe you're getting overwhelmed, you're getting stressed, it's too much to think about, you don't want to think about it, do a little bit at a time. Or start with your tax return and just make a list of, you know, the income that's reported on your tax return. Oh, I have interest. Where's the interest from? Oh, it's from Bank A. Oh, I have some dividend income. It's from brokerage firm, you know, XYZ. Oh, here's some more dividend interest. It's from a stock I hold individually, you know, at one of these clearing agents. And all of a sudden, you have a list of assets that you kind of, you know, can glean from your tax return. And that is very helpful to those people who would be, you know, left behind to kind of clean up everything. You might have 529 accounts for your grandchildren, education accounts. You might be the owner. You set them up. You started funding it for your grandchildren. Maybe they're, you know, not all the way through college and something happens to you. Who's the successor owner? You can name a successor owner when you set up a 529 account. Maybe you knew that. Maybe you didn't. But if you don't do it, then who's going to decide who the successor owner is? Quite often, the custodian will have a default option. The custodians sometimes have a default option on beneficiary designations. If you have an IRA, a retirement account, and you name a primary beneficiary and you never name a contingent, and something happens to your primary beneficiary, who gets the asset? Remember, I said it's not always what you think it is. Maybe it's the estate. Well, if you don't have a contingent and the custodian says the default beneficiary is the estate, that's an acceleration of distribution of your IRA or your retirement account to 5 years. Whereas if you had a contingent beneficiary, and let's say you name a spouse as the primary and your child is contingent, and the spouse passes away with you, the contingent's the child will have 10 years to take it out. And that could spread out the tax consequences. So it's really important for you to understand, do an inventory of your assets, and kind of have some basic understanding of what they are. If you have ideas for shows, you can certainly send those through yourfinancialchoices.com. If you think I talk too much in detail, you can send me a message, let me know. If you want more details, you can send me a message and let me know. But I appreciate any ideas that listeners would like me to talk about. You can, I'm open to to topics, financial topics, and you can send those through yourfinancialchoices.com. As I mentioned, next week we have Communities in Action. Learn more about the Bob Price Memorial Turkey Drive with Jandel Farms, Provident Bank, the Iron Pigs, and New Bethany that will occur on November 21st at the Iron Pigs. We'll talk more about that next week. Thank you, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Carl, for calling in. Thank you, Bridger, for being here. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.